Blog Talk Radio.
Now when you're feeling low, with no place to go, and your heart is feeling low and drear, remember I am here with a ray of cheer just for you. And when you're feeling blue, with nothing left to do, and your eyes just may be filled with tears, remember I am here with a ray of cheer just for you. Come true. Remember, there could never be another love who could come and make you smile the way I do. Now, when you're feeling low, with no place to go, and your heart is feeling low and drear, remember I.
Hello, everybody. This is Aaron Myers, broadcasting to you live from Washington, D.C., on The Exchange, the place where pop culture meets politics and business. Today, we will be celebrating the business aspect of our show. Real quickly, before we start with the interview, we just cover a couple of the top political stories that are out there. King Abdullah has passed away at the age of 90. One of the United States' strongest allies in the Middle East. More services and service plans. We know that the Vice President will be representing the United States at the services in Saudi Arabia. We know that the protests are still happening here in the United States around the killings in Ferguson and of Eric Garner in Brooklyn. These protests are happening steadily and are still on the rise. We know the Supreme Court is also poised to take up the action of marriage equality in this session. So please stay tuned for the updates on that. And right now, the Patriots, the legacied National Football League team, is under investigation now, and something called Deflategate. Where they're dealing with the issues of deflated footballs that may have given them advantages to win over not only the last game, but if this practice has continued over the course of years, how many games have they won because of it? So the investigation is now going on because of that. That's some of just the top stories. I always encourage all of my guests, take a deep breath in and to let it out. Remember that you are an awesome audience, and I'm so glad to have you listening with me today. Today we'll be talking to one of the owners and one of the managers, of course, with QArt.com. It's an art gallery and auction site that was founded in 2006 by brothers Eli and Noah Weissman. It has quickly become the largest online marketplace for fine art on the internet and features work from independent artists and photographers, as well as famous artists such as Peter Max, Tom Evehart, and Weiland. The company carries thousands of unique pieces as well as entire editions and even has daily auctions online starting at, now listen to this, the online auctions start at just $1, one George Washington. So while you're listening in to the interview, I'd ask that you go to www.qart.com. Again, that's www.qart.com. Perhaps even as you're listening, you may be able to bid on something and win something and, you know, get something that you actually like within the next 30 minutes as we talk to part of that dynamic duo, Noah Wiseman. Noah, are you there with us?
I am there.
Well, I'm so glad to have you on the show today. We should have a fun conversation. First, I'd like to ask all my guests, how is the weather where you are?
We're out in Los Angeles, and the weather is absolutely beautiful out here.
Oh, well, I tell you, you have most of Washington jealous right now.
I'll bet. I think our winter low was, you know, in the 60s.
Oh, wow. I tell you, I woke up here in Washington one morning, and it was 13 degrees Fahrenheit. And I tell you, I don't know if that's God's sign to move or what, but I tell you what, it was something else. So I always like to ask, especially siblings who are in business together. Oftentimes I think of the sibling rivalry, and I also think of, you know, trying to get downstairs first, or get in the bathroom first, who's in there the longest, who gets the car first, those type of things. And I'm the oldest of 12, and so I've never thought of going into business with a sibling. How did this concept come about to begin with, that you and your brother had such synergy that you could go into business together?
That's actually an interesting question that we get a lot, and it's funny to call it synergy. You know, we really actually, I like to say, we complement each other because we are actually very different.
Okay.
You know, we didn't grow up with stairs, but we sure did rush to get places ahead of each other. And these days, you know, that actually kind of works out because we keep each other in line. We, you know, help each other actually hash out and think about the different aspects of you know, endeavors and shows and stuff like that. So, while, you know, growing up, I don't think we ever would have thought about going in something together, but it's really worked out well now that we are grown up. And you know, like I said, you know, you grow up different, you have at it with your sibling rivalry, but I guess going through that helped us become different people, and that's really benefiting us these days.
Well, let's go back to that. Were you all raised in the Los Angeles area?
Yeah, we're both from Los Angeles.
And to people who are listening, Los Angeles is a big place, and there are different little subsets of communities. Which one of those communities in Los Angeles did you all grow up in?
We grew up mostly in near the Hollywood area out there. So it's a
old Hollywood.
Big place. Yeah, it is a big place. But even in that area, it's a big place. But that's a general vicinity of the area that we grew up in. So. You had grew up looking at, I don't know if you're familiar with the area at all, but you have...
I used to live on Sunset and Gardner, so I'm very familiar.
Well, there you go. So, you know, down on Melrose over there, we grew up always watching all those, you know, little stores that pop up with, you know, graffiti artists and stuff like that. And so
right.
It was always very cool growing up in the area, just watching that stuff. And it's still going crazy over there, but yeah, so that's the area that we kind of were raised in.
One, and going into college, did you decide to stay in the same area? Did you venture out?
No, we both kind of did our own thing for a bit. I was out in New York for a little bit. I love New York, but it worked out for me to come back to L.A. So we kind of made a roundabout and ended up back relatively in the same place, and that's where we kind of got this whole thing started.
Now, it says here that you decided to really look at QArt. The name QArt, how did that come about?
So the official company name is actually Quality Art Auctions, Inc., and then QArt is just, you know, the quality art aspect of that. We go by QArt now almost solely, but that's where the QArt comes from. And I don't know if you should be surprised, but the amount of times people try to throw that U in there after the Q, it's really...
All right. Court.
Really trying to rethink that name, I think. But no, so QArt.com is primarily what we go by now, but it does come from our official company name, which was Quality Art Auctions.
And I would really like to know why art, out of all the things one could be auctioning and looking at online, to do. I mean, why art and not cars or not whatever else? Why art? And where did this particular focus on art stem from within your family and within both of you?
Yeah, I once read an article. It said two of the most difficult businesses to make it in were art and restaurants. And we figured restaurants was a far fetch, and we wanted a challenge, so why not go into art? But really, we actually grew up in an environment that kind of pushed both, you know, being artistic and creative. My mother was a large advocate of that. And then on the other side of it, kind of seeing the art itself, our father was, he had a side that he used to have as a hobby where he would actually collect and trade and stuff with the fine art stuff. In fact, some of the same artists that he used to deal with, we ended up dealing with, you know, 30 years later, which was actually kind of amazing, and they remembered, and it was really very cool. But, you know, we were raised in it. We have always had kind of that affinity towards it, and at the time, that it, you know, we both ended up in that position where it seemed like something that could work. And we were just crazy enough to try it, I guess.
When one is dealing with art and arts, I think I'm a fan of the Antique Roadshow. I don't know if you ever watched that show. But the key is being able to, you know, to do three things, to not get caught up with the fakes or the imposters. Second of all, knowing if an artist was influential enough to where the art and paintings were actually worth something. And third, knowing where to buy and when to sell, because the market fluctuates so much. How do you all make those determinations when, A, procuring art, B, knowing that the art is, you know, legitimate, real, and from an influential painter, and then third of all, how are you all able to gauge the market within your business model?
Well, Aaron, that's actually a great question. We have, over the years, been presented with, on many occasions, you know, big names of yesteryear and different various products where there's been, in our minds at least, some sort of question of authenticity or legitimacy to them. So as a business rule, we try to, you know, stay away from anything that there has been controversy over or potential issues with that type of product in the past. We stay very, very close to the sources of our products, the artists of, you know, contemporary products, and we try to maintain that level of authenticity as, you know, as close as possible when it comes to that. So in terms of knowing what we're getting, we are definitely on the ball there, and don't really ever have a real question of authenticity with anything that we sell. In terms of what the product is and how to keep it, we are large advocates of, you know, art is supposed to be out there to help you feel good, help you look at something that's, you know, pleasing to your environment, pleasing to yourself. So we actually really push people to buy something if they appreciate it and they like it. Now, it is a great investment thing at times, of course. Not every artist turns into an investment artist, but many of the ones that we do, like, you know, for example, Peter Max is a huge name. He I think last year or the year before, he painted a boat for Norwegian Cruise Lines, a giant boat. And he's been around for decades, and he's a, you know, well-known name. That stuff's obviously going to be worth something and appreciate over the years. But as a whole, as a company type outlook at arts in general is, if you appreciate it, you know, you're going to want it and you're going to like it. In terms of buying and selling, that's really our approach to it. We like to really make sure people are happy and get to appreciate the things that maybe they couldn't have necessarily appreciated. And in our environment, they certainly get that opportunity, you know, on the website, qart.com, now in our gallery in Marina Del Rey, to take a look at the stuff that maybe they thought they never could and actually really get that chance to appreciate it and maybe even go home with it and keep appreciating it.
You know, when I think of different people who have who are masters in their profession, for instance, let's take a chef, oftentimes never get the chance to really taste his own creation, you know. It's always made for the, you know, you don't get a, you can dabble here and there a little bit. Do you ever find the temptation of bidding on your own stuff that you're putting on the site? I mean, if one were to go to y'all's home, would we find the walls cluttered with art? Or has there ever been a piece that you put up for auction that you may have bid on or wanted, and it slipped through your fingers?
We that's an ongoing point of, I don't want to say grief, but I guess kind of a double-edged sword in our line, because we constantly have art that comes through where we'll stop and say, wow, that is amazing. We don't want to sell that. We want to keep that for ourselves. And, you know, obviously we can't do that on everything, so we do all the time end up selling stuff that we would prefer to keep just because we like it. But, you know, as a rule, we don't really bid on anything that we're selling, simply because that could lead people to believe, you know, not that we're not really running fair business practices. And we try very hard to stay away from that and only allow the front-end users to bid on anything over there that we're selling on the site. And it does happen regularly where we'll go and we'll post something up and just kind of, we know when they're closing and we'll watch it and just sigh like, wow, I wish I could just keep that. And no, well, I hope they're going to be happy with it, you know? We had our grand opening of the physical gallery at Marina Del Rey. We had that back in December, and part of that opening was a benefit for the Stan Lee Foundation, obviously named after Stan Lee, who's really a character and quite amazing. But they go out there and they benefit education and the arts and stuff like that. So we have these Marvel artwork editions that we have, and there are editions, so, you know, they're not really available anywhere else. And we took those. We had an auction event and everything at our grand opening, and it benefited that foundation. And we raised, I think, close to $40,000 for them in the one night. And every single piece of those Marvel items that goes up, I'm kind of like, oh, that's just, that's rad. That's cool. I don't want to sell that. So I do have one in my house. But it's just the one. I gotta let it go at the end of the day.
So it's hard to turn off the hoarder, you know, side and want to say no, we don't, not that one. You have to let go. It's difficult to do that, I'm sure.
It really does hurt. And like I said, we grew up and we're working with some of the artists that we grew up, you know, around the art of. So it's also nostalgic to a certain degree, some of the stuff that we're selling. And it's like, wow, I had one of those as a kid. It would be great to have one now. And then the other hand, it's, well, you know, we're selling these, you know. We're putting these out there for other people to appreciate as well. So it is bittersweet, but at the end of the day, we do really, the feedback that we get from people, we had a couple people just last week, you know, we had one of the artists that we sell is Wyland, who is, you know, huge in marine life, the California license plates that have the whale tail on them, that's him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just internationally known. So we had a couple people reach out to us. You know, we sell occasionally his stuff. I think there's one of his editions framed on the site right now, closing today, that just started at $1. And we got people reaching out, really just like ecstatic, saying, wow, I never thought I'd be able to own one of his pieces. You guys are amazing. And so that kind of helps soften the blow of getting rid of stuff that we like. We have, you know, the people coming back and showing how much they appreciated the opportunity to get something they didn't think they ever could. Because you go in the galleries in Hawaii where this guy is selling his stuff, and, you know, they're thousands of dollars, and get it for hundreds of dollars by us. And that's kind of like the elation that we get. And those feedback has just really helped, like I said, soften the blow of getting rid of stuff that we just really want.
Well, were you surprised with the reception or the way that people took to the art? I mean, for a while there, you didn't find many people talking about nice art. People, even you don't ever think about what you're going to hang on your walls, because in this day and age, so many people are transient in places. With the economy over the last few years, we're just bouncing back. So you found a lot of roommate situations, a lot of renting, not owning. So personalizing apartments has not really been a big thing. Were you all pleasantly surprised to see that there was still a want for art in the home and to be appreciated?
It's a valid point. You wouldn't really think that that's the sector that's really going to stick around and expand. In fact, you may see a lot of the galleries, the brick-and-mortar galleries, either shuttering up or trying to get online and expand. And we're kind of taking the opposite approach. We've been online for years already, 8 years already we've been online and done the Power Online. And now we're actually just expanding into the brick-and-mortar, and we have a beautiful 7,500-square-foot gallery out in Marina Del Rey, right in the heart of the marina. And it really is a sight to see. It's amazing. I don't think there's anything else like it, certainly not on the west side of L.A. And it's open daily, so anybody who's in the area can come by and check it out. But it's, you know, you mentioned transient and type of like roommate situations and stuff like that. Well, the beauty of us is, and our business model at least, is we always give that opportunity for amazing deals. Our prices are so low a lot of the times, and on these auctions where the customers really are the ones setting the prices, it's like you could get that piece that you never thought you can get and then not worry about, well, is it going to fit in my, you know, home for the long run, because you could just get another one, honestly. But it really is, our market is not one that I think we have that worry. You know, we have the high-end stuff for those people that are settled, of course, and then we also have lower end, I don't want to say lower end, but, you know, the more transient type of product as well. But a bulk of what we have is a wonderful little mid-range, and we offer the opportunity to get those at really ridiculously low prices. So you can buy it, you can feel good about it, and then not worry about it if you got to change it up later. So we were actually, you know, happy to see as the economy tanked, we're still there, we're still doing good. As the economy comes back, people seem to do it more. As things change to this whole, you know, oh, on-demand stuff, I can get one thing today and nothing tomorrow. No, at the end of the day, people do still like that quality product. They still like that fine art feel, the limited aspect of it, the hand-signed aspect of it. You know, the artist is intimately involved in it. So, thankfully, it's been good for us, and I don't really think it's exceeded necessarily what we were expecting, because, you know, we've been around it a long time, so we know the product. But it has been very nice to see more people become interested who might not have been art connoisseurs or something like that. And just because we have such an open environment and such a down-to-earth feel, we're not like a pompous gallery that you're intimidated to walk towards. We're regular guys running a business, and we give everybody that opportunity to enter into the world that they might not have wanted to.
How has Q Art changed your view of the art world?
That's interesting. Well, you know, before getting into it as a business, you don't really see that side of it. You don't see the ups and downs or what something's worth. And we try to actually keep that as the model, where we appreciate it for what it is. And quite frankly, it hasn't really changed my views too much of the art world. I still pretty much like most of the same artists I like, dislike some of the artists I dislike, have different tastes as, unfortunately, some of my customers, which makes it a problem to try to gauge what they would want versus what I want. But in terms of opinions on the art world, it's pretty much what you might think, just looking at it from an outside source also.
When looking at Q Art, how do you see that it is changing the way we look at art and purchase art today? Do you see that Q Art is creating a trend, a part of a trend, or standing on its own?
Well, I think it's definitely been a player in the way the art world is changing. And that's clear. Like I mentioned, unfortunately, a lot of galleries are really just closing up. They're forcing to. The art market with the economy has had ups and downs. So these physical galleries are having, you know, problems with that type of situation. But because we started off in this online form, we haven't had that same issue as other people. And you see now, as the years have gone by, you know, we started in 2006, and now you see eBay is trying to do these live auctions, fine art auctions. Amazon 6 months ago started a fine art category. So it's definitely shifting towards our frontier. And we were doing this, you know, before it became the popular thing to do or the resort
right.
thing to do. So we've been doing it, and as it shifts more in this direction, we're just going to keep doing it and doing it better. So.
And I like to hear that. You're going to keep doing it, and you're going to keep doing it better. And that's a good, that's always a good place, in my opinion, to be. If you're going to do anything, to keep doing it and keep doing it better. Now, right now, if I were to go on QArt.com, what is that dollar? What's the auction that's starting at a dollar today?
There's every day there's hundreds of listings that are live on the site. You know, we have what we call the gallery portion of the site, which is where you can browse through a lot of our inventory that's available for direct purchase if you're interested. Most of the stuff that's actually up in our physical gallery can be found throughout there. Some of it is not. We have plenty of unique items in the physical gallery that we try to make some sort of separation, but you know, we mix it in a little bit to have the bridge between our two entities. And right now, if you go on the site, you'll see there's, you know, 300 or so auctions live, some of them closing in minutes, some closing in hours, some closing in days. So there really is quite a variety of things on there right now. We have, for example, closing later today, there's a limited edition Erte Serigraph, and you know, Erte is a very well-known designer and artist. He did a lot of the backgrounds in the original Disney Sleeping Beauty. He was a fashion designer. He did a lot of the Ben-Hur costume designs, and this is hand-signed by him. He died in 1990, like I said, and so that's closing in.
That's a good
hours.
Deal. Yeah, that's a, I might myself just be bidding on some things, you know, after this, I've been kind of sifting through as we've been talking, and so I think I'll, you know, take a look at myself. So everybody, we've been talking to Noah Wiseman with QArt.com. Go to QArt.com today and make sure you walk away with a purchase that you can not only invest in, but something that will add value to your life, your home, and to your peace of mind and peace of art. Thank you, Noah, for the interview. I hope you enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And next time I'm in Marina Del Rey, I think I'll stop by your showroom and have a good time and take
a
look at what you got there.
Right?
Thank you. I might even submit a piece for you. And to all of those listening out there in Radio Land, remember, no one else told you today they loved you. I love you. There's not a damn thing you can do about it. I enjoy all of you. And go by QArt.com today and check them out. Again, this has been The Exchange. I'm your host, Aaron Myers, and I hope that you have a wonderful day. Thank you so much.
Now when you're feeling low, with no place to go, and your heart is feeling low and drear, remember I am here with a ray of cheer just for you. Nothing left to do, and your eyes just may be filled with tears. Remember, I am here with a ray of tears just for you. Remember, there could never be another one who could come and make your wildest dreams come true. Remember, there could never be another love who could come and make you smile the way I do. Now when you're being
dip a 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 dip a